Well, it's Reformation Day again. After all the attention that Luther and the 95 Theses got last year during the 500th anniversary celebration, are you finally ready to hear about it again after a year's break? Well, maybe it does start to seem repetitive that we celebrate this one event year after year. Now, Christmas and Easter, sure, those are from the Bible. Those are all about Jesus, and that's what's really important. We should celebrate those every year. But what about the Reformation? We don't worship Martin Luther. He is not the founder of our faith. The founder of our faith and the founder of our church is Jesus and no one else. So why is this one day out of the church's 2,000-year history special and worthy of this annual observance? Well, I would say because it is, in fact, about Jesus. It is about the gospel message, and it's about how the Holy Spirit has continued to work in and through the Christian church, long after the last word of the New Testament was written. God did not finish his work then and then leave us here to continue, here and now on our own. God is in fact still at work in the world. He worked to renew the church in 1517 and the following years, and he does it today, too. But maybe we do start to lose sight of that sometimes, what the Reformation was really all about. A Lutheran theologian from the last century named Hermann Zasse has some helpful comments about this. He says there are four general basic ways that people tend to tell the story of the Reformation. The first is what he calls the heroic interpretation. It's all about Luther as a great hero. The man who endured hardships, who stood up against the Pope and the Emperor, Luther as the larger-than-life founding figure, almost like a George Washington or an Abraham Lincoln. Then there's what he calls the cultural view, that the Reformation represents a new dawn at the end of the Dark Ages, the liberation of Europe from medieval superstition, and the beginning of the Enlightenment. Third, maybe not so common for us, is the nationalist interpretation. This one is all about Luther the German. He defied the Italian Pope and the Spanish Emperor. He gave the German people a German Bible, a German church, a German identity. Now, maybe it's not so important for us, but still today, for many Germans, that is what Luther represents. He's more of a national figure than a religious one. And so we could explain the Reformation in those three ways if we were looking at it as a historian or a sociologist or a politician. And they're not inherently wrong. But there is a fourth way. And this fourth way is the one that is the most fundamentally correct view. The Reformation was, first and foremost, an event in the larger life and history of the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Christian Church. To put it another way, the Reformation was all about Jesus and his church. Notice that the color of this day is red. That color is only used for two other occasions in the whole church year. One is for Pentecost, the festival of the Holy Spirit in the spring, 50 days after Easter. The other is for ordinations or installations of pastors. Red is the color we use for the Spirit, for evangelism, for the proclamation and the spread of the gospel across the world. And so red is the color of Reformation, because today is all about proclaiming the gospel and rejoicing in the work of the Holy Spirit at one important moment in history. And so it really is all about Jesus. After all, as we learn and we repeat in the words of the Small Catechism, I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified, and kept me in the true faith. And in the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. That is why red is the color of Reformation, as we remember the work of the Spirit in calling, gathering, enlightening, and sanctifying the church to keep it with Jesus in true faith. Specifically in the events of the 16th century, but really, in all times and all places. And so there were three short catchphrases that helped memorably sum up the main points of the Reformation and how these preachers and these writers were calling out errors they saw and calling people back to faith. If you've seen the back of the new t-shirts that our evangelism chair has made for us, you know what these are. Sola gratia, sola fide, sola scriptura. And yes, leaving them in Latin was done on purpose. That way people have to ask you what it means, and it's an opportunity to start a good conversation. But so that you can explain to them what it means, and why it's on our shirt, and why it's important, why the entire Reformation was important, I'll explain it to you now. So sola gratia means grace alone. Grace is God's favor and God's goodness towards us, entirely undeserved on our part. He loves us even as sinners who have gone astray and rebelled against Him, even as wicked people who do all kinds of evil. As Paul says in Romans, at just the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. It is by grace alone that we are given forgiveness and salvation. Grace is something that is in God, not in us. There is nothing in us, nothing that we can do, nothing that can move God to do any of this for us. We can't prove to Him that we're the kind of people He ought to save. We can't earn it or work towards it. We can't contribute a single thing to the whole process. Salvation comes by God's grace alone. He gives, we receive. And that's all there is to it. The next is sola fide, faith alone. Now, faith is what connects us to the grace of God. Faith is what takes what God offers to all the world in His grace and makes it personal. Faith makes it for me. Faith is nothing else than trusting and believing God when He announces His grace. And, just like grace, it's not up to us, poor miserable sinners. Faith also is the gift of God, and what the Holy Spirit does when He creates a new heart in us, when He calls us, gathers us, enlightens us. And so insisting that we are saved by faith alone also excludes any good works or human effort from the process. Now some people will say that we're saved by God's grace, but then it's our own effort that keeps us in the faith. That is an idea that we reject completely. Faith is not a matter of believing hard enough or sincerely enough, as if it's still somehow up to us. Faith is not making a decision for Jesus, as if we have the ability to agree or disagree to God's terms. Faith is the childlike trust in our Heavenly Father that simply lets go and rests in His promises and His care. And finally, we have sola scriptura, Scripture alone. And what Luther was dealing with 500 years ago was a situation where everyone kept putting all these other things on the same level as the Bible. Human traditions, human reason, human institutions like the hierarchy of the church. Layer after layer got piled on top of the Bible itself until it was almost forgotten. The first time Luther was able to read entire books of the Bible in context was when he was studying for his doctorate. But it is the Bible that we believe is the authority above all others, the only truly reliable and inspired source for us to learn about God. It is the Word of God in the Bible that shows us Christ, the incarnate Word of God. To know God, we have to know Jesus, and to know Jesus, we have to look at the reliable account about Him. Scripture alone keeps us grounded, keeps us from substituting any other ideas that would only serve to weaken or minimize or obscure Jesus Himself. And so, those are the three things. Grace alone, faith alone, Scripture alone. No human effort, no good works, no human authority or tradition. God works in us, for us, and speaks to us. We receive His blessings, His gifts, His promises. That is the gospel. Luther and far too many others have been afflicted with anxiety and uncertainty about their salvation. They're afraid that they haven't repented sincerely enough to be forgiven. They're afraid they haven't believed truly enough to be saved. They're afraid they haven't lived well enough, served their neighbors enough, prayed enough, read the Bible enough, whatever it may be. They haven't done enough or been enough. That is all a part of the law. And the law of God is good. Those things are good things. But that is not the gospel. The gospel says, of course you haven't done enough. Of course you're not good enough. The good news is, it was never up to you in the first place. It was never about, I have to believe in Jesus. Because if you're the subject of that sentence, if it's all about me, then it's not the gospel. I would much rather say, Christ has died and risen for me. I believe in Jesus isn't wrong, but it's still law, because it's still about me and it's focused on what I am doing. Christ died and Christ rose for me. That puts Jesus where he belongs. He is the subject. He is the one who is active and working. I am the one who is simply receiving, who is resting in his promise. And here's the inside of the Reformation, that here is the gospel. God says to me, in Christ you are forgiven. And God does not lie. God says to you, in Christ you are forgiven, you are redeemed, you are saved, you are an heir of eternal life. And all of it is by grace through faith. And God is not a liar. God tells the truth. I could never do enough. God has done it all. My feelings, my effort, all that. God says, hush, stop, be still and listen. You have been baptized into Christ. In Christ, you are my beloved child. The freedom of the gospel is knowing that the burden is lifted, knowing that the burden was borne by Jesus. When God speaks through the law, he says, do this, avoid that, this is what I expect of you. The gospel does not tell us what to do or what to avoid. The gospel sets up no requirements. In the gospel, God says, this is what I have done for you. That is the message of Scripture. That is the message of the Reformation. And that is our message today. That's what we keep coming back for week after week, to receive what God gives in Christ, to rest in the peace of his promise. May this same peace guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord and the message of the gospel, this day and every day, unto life everlasting. Amen.